So the goal of this medical injection safety project is to prevent the medical transmission of HIV and AIDS through improved infection prevention and injection safety practices and behaviors. And the two sort of primary strategies that we have here are really looking at changing behaviors and decision-making at a national and district and facility level. And we're hoping and we believe that support for these activities can be won over through advocacy efforts, and that it's not just, there's an element of doing the projects at the local level, but there's also an element of advocacy and capacity building at national levels. And so this project is actually working at, you can call it two levels, you can call it three levels of national, district, and facility levels. At the national level, our strategies are to garner political commitment in support of infection prevention, really within the Ministry of Health, trying to ensure that guidelines, that budgets are in place to support infection prevention and injection safety. To strengthen the National Infection Prevention Working Group that's within the Ministry of Health. Within the project itself, some of the ways we're able to do this is through a memorandum of understanding between our project and the Ministry of Health that really codifies what it is that the project will do in conjunction with the ministry, and in return what the ministry will do in conjunction with the project, so that it's a bilateral relationship where both parties have a role to play in order for the project to succeed. The other activity is to increase supportive supervision visits in collaboration with provincial and district health officers. At the district or facility level, we want to increase support by management within the district health management teams for infection prevention and injection safety. We want to ensure that there's continued training of healthcare providers. We want to promote the inclusion of infection prevention and injection safety activities, including commodities, including action plans, and including dedicated personnel. We want to disseminate IP and waste management guidelines. And really underlying all of this is a layer of supportive supervision to ensure that activities once started are maintained in the longer term. Some of the selected results that we've had is that we were able to sign this memorandum of understanding. And if those of you who've worked at a bilateral level know that trying to get a Ministry of Health to sign a memorandum of understanding can be a long and laborious process. It's the same with the U.S. government. It's the same with other governments. Trying to codify what it is the two parties will do through a memoranda seems like it should be an easy and logical process, but rarely is, especially when both parties have something that they have to bring to it, and they may or may not be able to live up to those commitments. In terms of at more of a local level, what the project has been able to accomplish is supported infection prevention and injection safety trainings, which is a four-day training for 600 providers in 38 districts and oriented over 286 facility administrators. The difference is that the administrators are more at the management level. So ensuring that there's an understanding of why infection prevention and injection safety is something that should go on in the facilities that they manage. The other level, the level down, is those who actually have to implement infection prevention and injection safety, and those are a far larger number that need to be trained and promoted. We've had some success in getting provincial and district health offices to incorporate infection prevention and injection safety into what we call supportive supervision visits. So when district health management teams go out to hospitals in rural areas or clinics in rural areas to actually include infection prevention and injection safety as some of the activities that they look at within the facility, and not just looking at inpatient visits or outpatient visits, commodities along drugs and pharmaceuticals, but look at all the other things that infection prevention requires. One of the bigger things I think that we've been able to do, and we'll show it in some of the, I'll show it in a moment in some of the results that we've had, is looking at how within a facility level do we ensure that activities can be sustained after this project. This is a USAID funded project. It goes on for 4 years. There's the perpetual question of so what after that. And the idea is that our hope is through training personnel at the facility levels, and one hopes that you don't have a high rate of turnover, but through training individuals at the facility level and working infection prevention and injection safety into the action plans that are annual plans specific to that facility, that you can codify infection prevention and so that it'll be carried on in the longer term. One of the intended or perhaps unintended consequences of the project is to look at leveraging resources. Are you giving me a signal that I'm... Okay. We've been fortunate to leverage resources through the Christian Hospital Association of Zambia, through their provision and procurement of commodities. There's an Environmental Council of Zambia that's worked closely with the ministry, and we've worked with them to finalize and development of healthcare worker management guidelines, more pre-service kind of training. And then the Zambia National Response to HIV/AIDS supported them and leveraged them with funding the printing and dissemination of these healthcare management guidelines. Some of the challenges that I think the project faces and injection safety and infection prevention face in the long term is reinforcement of policies. I think it's fairly easy that when resources get tight, some of the first things that go are, well, we just won't buy more gloves. We won't buy new needles, we'll reuse needles. And we won't worry so much about where medical waste is put, we'll just dig a pit out back and we'll put the waste in those pits and we won't worry too much about that. So as resources become limited and more limited, codifying and ensuring that those activities remain within the action plans of a facility gets more and more difficult. And so there's a continued need to reinforce the importance of infection prevention and injection safety. And ideally, if you're able to train people and people see the value of it and they feel like they're more safer and able to do their job better, if you're able to sustain those individuals, they will keep advocating themselves for it. So we're the other challenges are continuing the inclusion of infection prevention activities at the National and District Action Plan level. It's an annual cycle. It's pretty easy as resources get difficult for that to be perhaps stated in word, but then not backed up with appropriate funding. Ensuring that additional stakeholders buy in. It might be the U.S. government 1 year. It might be through another donor through budget support a next year. Is that line item put in there for infection prevention or not? In Zambia, there's a National Infection Prevention Working Group, ensuring that the activities being funded and supported are maintained at the national level. So it ends up coming back to the three levels of national, district, and facility level, and ensuring that within each level, infection prevention remains in the forefront of people's minds as something that can't just be, it's not a one-off. We can't check the box and say we're done and move on to another issue. It's every time and all the time. Some of the lessons learned in that regard have been that training frontline healthcare providers coupled with supportive supervision is really key. The excitement that can be generated when people feel like they have proper equipment to do their job and that they're safer and that they're being looked at within the clinical facility is empowering. And so something that seems as simple as giving people boots, giving people gloves, suddenly people feel like, hey, wait, I'm being appreciated. And people are looking out for my well-being, not just the well-being of a patient. We've seen that advocacy leads to better management support. It's a continuing process. It's not a one-off. And that active and consistent advocacy for IP and IS by district health management teams results in greater incorporation of these activities. So again, it has to be a continued process, though. It can't be a one-off. One of the areas that we've had some success in is the University Teaching Hospital in Zambia. And I wanted to highlight this because they were able to identify a focal person for infection prevention. It helped to revitalize. Most of the facilities have a committee in word, if not deed. And so revitalizing these committees and showing them that there's a reason to support them has been of great value. It's led to the continued purchase of personal protective equipment. What the project does is often buys an initial allotment of commodities for a facility with the understanding that the facility itself will include the further purchase of those commodities within their budgets. So it goes back to the action planning. And it's a way of kickstarting the activities with the assumption that the facility will continue it. And in the end, you're not actually talking about a whole lot of money, but it's a matter of making sure that it's being dedicated to that. Some of the other things in here have been training, both by the project to individuals and then within the individuals in the health facility to other individuals. And so some of the things that you can see are improved facilities. Unfortunately, we don't have a good before and after picture of where waste was being disposed of before, but for those of you who've seen some clinics in rural areas in particular, you have a good idea that often waste, medical or otherwise, is just strewn around the facility and not, or perhaps goes into a pit, but is not really put in a specific area. Showing who is the PEP administrator. Showing that you have proper gloves and waste disposal materials. Again, it values the individuals, the health workers in those communities. And I'll end there. Thank you.